Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
The reason why we can smile, you are the reason why we can laugh, you are the reason why we can rejoice, you are the reason why we can stand, you are the reason why we can lift our hands and wave it to you, Lord. It's all you, Lord. It's all you. It's all you. Lord, we thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You've brought us together again to be strengthened. Lord, thank you. Jesus, we praise your name. Blessed be the name of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we give thanks. Blessed be God forevermore. Lord, our hearts are full of thanksgiving to you. We are grateful. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Please put up Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like us to read it together. Psalm 65. All right, let's go. Praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you, our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. Amen. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Amen. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. Who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength? Who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations? The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call for songs of joy. Hallelujah. You care for the land, TCC, and you water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. Amen. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills clothed with gladness. Can we make a joyful noise to the Lord? Hallelujah! The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy. Hallelujah! Praise God forevermore! Amen! From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the name of the Lord will forever be praised. The name of the Lord will forever be hallowed. Amen. Lord, we give thanks. Unto you we've come, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for utterance. Lord, pray that the eyes of our understanding may be flooded with light this morning. In the name of Jesus, think through my mind and speak through my lips, Father, that our minds will be renewed and our lives transformed. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over this environment. I rebuke every spirit of distraction in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have your seat in God's presence. Amen. Happy to see you today. I'm not hearing anything. Love me to see you too. Amen. Praise the Lord. and to everyone joining us online, thank you for being a part of this service. We are glad and happy that you joined. And I trust God. In fact, I know you've been tremendously blessed already. And I trust God for a word for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God is so good. Say to somebody, God is so good. God is so good. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Hissity, thank you so much for that. God bless you guys. Amen. I was already thinking, where will I go now that I chatter bus and say, Hissity, let's go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. What a day. I don't know, I'm just joyful. I mean, we can even end the service here and it's so good. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, as we worshiped, I just knew that we're going to have a day when we just worship that lens. Amen. It's going to come. I know the Lord will help me get to that by next year. Oh, just come. You worship until you can't stand. You stand. You kneel until you can't kneel. You lie down until you want to roll. Praise God. I trust God for that. Just come and empty yourself in the presence of God. That's a beautiful thing, is it not? Is it not? Amen. So today, I want to teach on a topic that I entitled Living by Faith. Living by Faith. We've been on a journey with Jesus. Amen. So today, 30th, by the way, it's Pastor Ken's birthday. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, you know, if you don't hug Pastor Kim today, just hug him, Sean. Like two, eh? Eh, who is doing birthday again today? Ah! You see? No wonder November is so, you know, November people, in November. Let me talk like somewhere that was in September people. Amen. Praise God. Aren't you glad that we have the gift of people? The gift of men. The gift of men. I so thank the Lord for the gift of this body. Praise God. Honestly, you may not understand, but that you can always have a brother. I mean, not biological. You can come to church and you have people you can depend on. You know what I mean by depend on? Is a blessing. It's God's gift. You know, you can cry on their shoulders and not be ashamed. It's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we'll be doing the singing of Happy Birthday after, but glory to God. It's because I bet they fell on Sunday. Don't feel anyhow. It's on Sunday. Praise the Lord. Okay, I want to read. We're going to take a lot of time to read Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. But I want to, first of all, because the anchor person I want to really, stay on is Abraham, of course, who is the father of faith. In Genesis chapter 12, we see that in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You see, all of these blessings, all of these promises, rather, that were, you know, said to Abraham, or Abram at the time, was the first verse said that God said to him, get out of your country. So what preceded the promises were instructions. Get out of your comfort zone. Come out of this place. Go to a place I will show you. Now, if the Lord has said, leave this place, go to Canaan, it's easy to move, right?
But he says, go to a place, I will show you.
And you see, the very next verse, chapter verse 4 says, so Abram departed, he left.
You see, the first point of faith is actually obedience. You know one thing? Hebrews, please put up Hebrews chapter 11 verse 2. We define faith as a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's from Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. So, that a man will be told of God to get out of this place to a place I will show you, and he starts to move, is the life God has called every one of us here to begin to live. So when we say we are Christians, we have been called into the Christian faith. It is that you've been called into a life of faith. Amen. Think about it. The moment when you said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, are you seeing any Jesus standing before you? You're not talking, you're not seeing him physically, right? But you are seeing it by faith, knowing that you are the person you are talking to is listening to you. You are talking to a person, and that he's hearing you, and he has the power to save you. You say, Lord Jesus, you know, come into my life. The way the Bible says, you believe in your heart, you say with your mouth, and you believe in your heart, and you'll be saved. You say it believing, so there is that faith that is at work. It is faith that is expressed there. You see, every day of our lives, we live by faith. We practice faith one way or the other. How many persons, when you came to church, first of all, shook the chair, shook it very well, lifted it up, checked it, you know, shake the legs before you sat down? How many persons did that? You know, you move the chairs, check the legs that they are firm. But you just saw the fine chair and you laid your weight on it without fear that you can actually give way and you will fall. You see, that's faith. You believe that it will hold you up. Amen. You believe that it will hold you up. You woke up and you just took your legs and you kept it on the ground and you wanted to, just started to move. You believe that he has been moving, he has to move. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to, you know, just simplify these things, because sometimes when we talk about faith, people say, I don't have faith. Oh, I don't have faith. I don't even know how to have it. But you see, the day you gave your life to Christ, to you was method and the measure of faith. And every day of your life, you exercise it, you express it. It is no difference. The way you trust your legs to carry you and you just move is the way the Lord expects that you just trust him and abandon yourself to him. Have you seen a little child? You know, if you keep maybe my baby Zoe on top of this chair now and she sees me, she will literally throw herself out of the chair towards me. There is no thought of falling while she's leaving herself. Do you understand? While on that chair, she's just there. But as soon as she sees me and she throws herself, it doesn't come to her mind at all that it is possible that there will be a fall. As far as she's concerned, mommy will catch me. You are the one that is taking on her ways. That will not be like, hey, this girl, what? She has released herself. That is what is called the proof, the evidence that I am caught. I know I will not fall. There is the guarantee, the assurance of faith that I can't fall, is that my mommy must catch me. I can depend on her, she won't fail. So when you look at the media, thank you. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. And the Bible says that, can you put that up please? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is, the tangibility of things hoped for is faith. The evidence of things not seen. You look at it in Amplified class, it says the title deed. That is the legal right that you have it. The legal proof that this belongs to you. That is what faith is. Hallelujah. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and conviction of their reality. Praise the Lord. So, you see, God expects that knowing him, we can literally know that God got me. God got me. So when you, in your life and in your journey with God, you understand the God in whom you have said, I put my faith in, you see that you are able, should be able to live your life without fear. Live your life with reckless abandon, knowing that the one who has my life is able, is faithful. Hallelujah. praise God forevermore.
So he said to Abraham to leave, and he left. That's so powerful, because most times God says to people to do stuff and they begin to imagine if that is the end of their life. They begin to imagine, Lord, are you sure this is what you want me to do? Like, you know it better. You know the road more than the God that has said move. God lets you in on a journey, and somehow you feel that you know the risks of that journey more than the God that has set you on it. So there's this thing that believers today do, is that we want to know the details before we begin. We want to know, Lord, where are, you know, just show me the bigger picture. He will never do that. Hallelujah. Abraham just left. And God expects you to live like that. Bible says, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. The just shall live by faith. Are you a just person? Are you righteous? The righteous, the way you live is by faith. The way you live is by faith. So it's not about a momentary thing, or, oh, there's a problem, let's exercise faith. Or there's a challenge, or we need something. It is that the way your life is lived as a believer is by faith. So every day you wake up trusting. Every day you wake up believing. Every day you wake up, you know that my life is hinged on a God who can never fail, who can never disappoint. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. So I said that the life, the walk of faith, the first step basically lies in obedience. Abraham experienced these things, the blessings of the Lord, the making of the Lord, because he obeyed. He walked by faith. He obeyed God. So like I said, faith is a journey. It's not an event. And you see, everyone who truly walked with God in the scriptures walked by faith. Abraham, Bible says, is the father of faith. That doesn't mean that he was perfect. That doesn't mean he did everything perfectly. But he walked with God. He would go wherever God would have him go. He would do what God would have him do. He believed God even without a map. He didn't need, oh, this is it. Follow, turn left. He just needed to know that God said to go. Praise God forevermore. Now, let's just stay on the scripture. Go down verse 2, please. This is what the ancients were commended for. What was it that the ancients were commended for? Their faith. Their faith in God. Their faith in the faithfulness of God. Sorry, I want to open it up so I can just be reading from here. By faith, verse 3, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. Let me just go down. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive as an inheritance. Bible says he went out not knowing where he was going. He went out not knowing where he was going. That's so profound. And that's the life the Lord wants us to live. I mean, you go out not knowing where you are going, but you just know God is leading me. God has asked me to do it. It doesn't make sense. I mean, think about it. When you just tell somebody that God says you should pack all your family and be going. Say, oh, wow, go where? He just says we should be going. Are you all right? Are you okay? No, the person will be looking at you funny. Just be going. Be going where? If it is just you. I mean, we can just say, okay, by the time you are finished, you are done with whatever is happening to you, you can come back. But you are taking your entire family to a place you don't know. The walk of faith is going to a place you don't know, just because God says go. Just because he says go. He says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Amen. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky,
in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore, because a man dared to believe. A man dared to believe. He believed God in total. He didn't have any shadow of doubt that what God said is true. Sorry, I want to read a scripture. Romans chapter 4, verse 19, please. And not being weak in faith, he's talking about Abraham. He did not consider his own body. Bible says already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Next verse. And being fully convinced, and that translation says persuaded, that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Go back to verse 19. You see, this is it's such a blessing that we can have these scriptures and we read them. It says, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Now, this is the situation. This is the current, is the ongoing experience. It's not like something that will happen. This is where we are. This is my experience, that my body is already dead. Do you understand? And my wife's womb is already dead. That's the situation. That's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm experiencing. It is good that we look at this again and again, because when we say you don't understand, I'm going through stuff, and you're telling somebody you don't understand, what you're going through cannot be worse than this. Do you understand? Cannot be worse than this. But you see, a word has gone forth, and he chose to believe the promises of God beyond what he's currently seeing. It's not a fear. It's not like I'm having fears that this will happen. It's that this is the situation right now. But the Bible says that a man did not consider it. He didn't consider it. The challenge, and we see that in the scriptures, verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 11. Let me read it. You don't have to turn there. Just stay where you are right now. It says in verse 15, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have the opportunity to return. The reason many of us are returning to a place God has brought us from is that we are considering it. He says, if they had paid attention, this country they've come out from, if they were thinking about it, reminiscing, that my country, you know what the Israelites were doing, our cucumber, all of that. He said, they will have opportunity to go back. So the Lord has brought you into a place, maybe healing. He has healed you, and then suddenly there's something that looked like it, and you began to recount where you were before, where he brought you up. Bible says you have an opportunity to return to that sickness. He didn't consider his current state. He could have been saying, you don't understand, I'm the one wearing the shoe. I know where it's pinching me. But you see, the Bible says he didn't consider where the shoe is pinching him. Most times, people are bound to repeat experiences because they stay on it. They consider it. Amen. Yes, that's what happened with Job. He said, what I feared had befallen me. He kept considering it. He kept thinking about it. It is important that we learn to consider the things God wants us to consider. Let God be true. Let your experiences be a lie. Let God be true. Let your current, that thing that is the current state that nobody understands, be a lie. Let God be true. Let God be true. That is what it means to live by faith. I don't remember, the just shall live by faith. Not by sight. This is the sight. The current state of Abraham's body and Sarah's womb is sight. But a man chose to live by faith, not by what he's seeing or experiencing. So I don't have money in my pocket right now. It's sight. Amen. The things I'm expecting, you know, what I want, the things I'm still missing around me is sight. And you see, those ones are temporal. Praise the Lord. So the one that is constant, cast on stone, is the word of God. The promises that is can never be changed. Can never be changed. Can never be changed. See, which one will you hold on to? The one that is subject to change, or the ones that can, the one can never. See, from Abraham's day till today, the word is still the same. The promises he received and held is still the promises you have today. Can't you see? It doesn't change. It doesn't change. The question is, are you holding on to it? Listen, when the Lord began this conversation was not when he received it. I hope you know. It wasn't like the Lord came today and then tomorrow he had the child. No. That is why the Bible said he did not waver in faith. What does that tell you? Things came against his face. Things came to shake him, to make sure you are not standing. But the Bible says he didn't waver. He didn't waver. I love that it says he stood strong. And that's what I want us to learn. Please go ahead. Verse 20 down to 21. He says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That strengthened in faith is he was strong in faith. How is he strong in faith? Giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So if you are thinking, oh, my faith, I'm wavering in faith, two things are missing. You're not giving glory to God, and you're not fully convinced of what he said he's able to do. Anytime you think, my faith, just know, one, you're not giving glory to God, and two, you are not fully persuaded that what God said he's able to do it. So how do you get strong in faith? Give glory to God, no matter the circumstance. Give glory to God and be fully persuaded that beyond every shadow of doubt, he's able to do what he has said. Your faith will be kakaraka, no shaking. You will see that it also be said of you, not wavering in faith. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Amen. So I want you to note that anytime you feel like, oh, I'm so feeling down in faith, I'm feeling down, begin to give glory to God. Cast to mind the things the Lord has done. And then, what has God said to you? Begin to meditate on it again until you are fully persuaded that God will do what he said. God is not a man. He can't lie. 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 If you are sleeping, say amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 17 says, Hebrews 11 now. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. So a man received a promise that through this son, your descendants will be reckoned. And then you have to give up on this son. He says, so that you get, let me just continue. He says, of whom it was said, in Isaac, your seed shall be called. So he knew it, that through this son of yours, this thing I've said will come to pass. But he offered up Isaac. You know what he was thinking? He was concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. You know what I was telling you about throwing yourself and not caring? It is that you have said it. And you did not say, I will give birth to another child. He said, it is through this Isaac. So he said, he should offer him up. Nehemiah, he offered him up. Do your own. Like, I know, I am convinced, fully persuaded
that God has said that from Isaac, my descendants will be reckoned. That word will come to pass. It doesn't matter if Isaac died. You will raise him back to life. See faith. See what it means that, Lord, my life is in your hands. If you have said it, you will bring it to pass. If you have said it, you will make it come to pass. I don't care what you say to do, I will just do it. I will just do it. So I'm going to take the step as you've instructed. It doesn't matter whether I am seeing a ditch. I'm just going to step because you said I should step. I believe you will catch me. If I fall into the ditch, it means I'm going to fly. I know I'm not going to end there because that's not what you said. I'm saying to you that if you truly, truly, truly understand this God we are talking about and you take his word to heart, there are fears that you can't fear. You are able to move at his pace. You know, while I was just reading this Hebrews, we are still talking about, you know, trying to get food on the table, get paid the children's fees, pay rent. God that is saying to feed the nation, you. God is saying that I'm sending you to nations. Don't you think that is already taken care of? Do you understand? That those basics is not a challenge because I'm sending you out. But somehow, the things he has taken care of becomes the reason we don't go out. We say, Lord, understand now these children. Lord, understand now this, my work. Oh, Lord, understand now this. God, he said Abraham concluded that God was able. What gave him that conclusion? How did he come about that conclusion? It's not like God said, don't worry, I'll raise him back to life. Do you understand? God didn't give him that assurance. Because God has said, from this son of yours, that is all he needed. How it was going to happen is up to you, Lord. Praise the Lord. How you, Lord, choose to do it is up to you. But can we do that? Can we do that? It's up to you, Lord. Do you understand? Can we leave it to up to you and just do the one that he said do? So every day I wake up in the morning, I'm just about what he said I should do. I'm just doing it. Will it yield results? I don't know. I'm just doing it because God said I should do it. Does it make sense to people? Well, people are saying that I don't have sense. I don't want to go and look for a job. But I'm doing what God wants me to do. Because he's the potter. We are the clay. He makes us. He made us. And he determines what he wants us to represent as. So if he says, be a cup, I'm going to be the best cup ever. He says, be a plate. Oh, I'm going to serve the best food. I'm going to serve as the best plate. Why? He's my owner. He owns my life. I'm the sheep of his pasture. You can just leave things with God.
Verse 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, that's where I'm going, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. You see what I was telling you? It's not about you and the, you know, your immediate issues. See, your father is able. Your father is able. Your immediate issues, don't be telling God that he's unfaithful. Don't be telling God that he's an irresponsible father. He doesn't know you need food. He doesn't know you need clothes. He said, don't worry about those things as the heathen do. Don't you understand? These ones, now, you worrying about it is like, that's what heathen do. They should worry about it. But you are a son. You are a son. You are a son. You know the beautiful thing? Even healing, he says, healing is a children's bread. Do you understand? You have the title deed to healing and health. He says it's the children's food. It's yours. So by faith, we live healthy. By faith, we live healthy. By faith, we live healthy. He says, By faith, they subdued kingdoms, walked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Sorry, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised back to life. So the faith we are talking about did not end when in the Bible days. No, it did not. It did not. It's still the same Jesus. It's still the same Holy Ghost. It's still the same faith. It's still the same faith. It says women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. With faith, you endure hardship. With faith, we endure hardship. Of course, when we teach faith, we know that it takes on standing your grounds and, you know, everything Jesus has given and that. Again, with faith, you endure hardship. Scripture says, not accepting deliverance. Do you know what that means? I would rather die than give up my faith. I would rather be amputated than give up my faith. I would rather lose my job. I would rather lose the contract than compromise. I would rather be jobless than sleep with Caesar. Do you understand? I would rather have nothing than sign this forgery. I will not. Why? Your faith is your life. The faith you have in Jesus Christ is your life. You guard it with everything you've got. When Satan comes, that's what he comes for. He hopes he can shake you up a bit, bop you a bit so he can start. But Lord, I can ask for forgiveness after. Hello. Let me do first. Who know holy pass? How do they say it? Who holy pass? Abi? Who holy pass? That's the thing people say when they want to commit iniquity. When they want to do evil. Say, who holy pass? You've told yourself that everybody is doing it. Let you do. You are not serious. If you're a Christian, you're not very serious at all. You get people way holy. Say amen to that. He gave us righteousness as a gift. He said that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when they say nobody holy, say, holy there. Because that's when they want to try to leave that in now. No, we are holy. Deal with it. We are righteous. Shout it to the rooftop. Yes, so we are the holy ones in this place. All you are holy ones. You're doing your own. Do you understand? But we don't let them say nobody. No, we get people way do, way holy. Pass. We don't give up on this life of faith. We don't give up on this testament of faith for worldliness, for material gain, for money. That's the worst part of it. It is still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. So when you are mocked, you start to fight. You want to fight. You want to clear your name. You want to prove yourself. That's not what you're called to do. It says, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Do you know what is sawn in two? You know what is a saw, huh? Saw. And then you're sawn in. Leave me, I'm not from England. You saw a human being into two. Maybe it has entered number. But you see, they didn't care. Do it. Do you get? No problem. Do it. Do it. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. See, that a person is suffering does not mean that they are the worst of the worst. Listen, the Bible says, because all of this is for my name's sake, it says this world is not even worthy of them. So that you are dressed in the fine clothing does not mean that you are there with God. He says, these people don't deserve them. They don't even deserve them. And we look at them and be like, they don't look poised. They don't look polished. But they have the gospel. And that is why Apostle Paul will say in Romans chapter 1, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? This same gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So if you are ashamed of the gospel, God says, I'll be ashamed of you. If you wear all the fine clothes so that you can preach all the fine gospel. Amen. Don't be, so careful about coming out looking very great. And then you're not careful about building your faith, growing in faith, taking in the word of God inside your life and living it. In your office, the same way they know it, the same way they know you. They know when they want to do their thing, they call everybody. They know that they should call you. If they know that they should call you, you're in trouble. You are the one that they should know that if you enter the meeting will scatter. Because you're the Jesus that was sent there. That is what it means that you're living by faith. So every day I am standing for Jesus. You are the faith child of a faith God. God doesn't compromise. You don't compromise. We imitate God. We walk in the footprints of our Lord Jesus Christ, whether it is suiting or not. Whether you will be mocked. They tell you all the places to go to because you are looking for something. You say, I'd rather not have it than go there. That thing is so important to you. But I will rather die not having it than go there. Be your neighbor's keeper and just kick somebody. Say amen. Hallelujah. God is good. This is what Jesus wants from us. Listen, our lives does not end here. Our lives does not end here. Apostle Paul called them light afflictions. Light afflictions. But you should bear them. You can bear them. Because he doesn't allow the one that is greater to come your way. Don't you get that? He knows. He cares about you. He understands your strengths. These people wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. You know why they, do you know, let me also explain that. Why they were wearing that is that they were still preaching the gospel. So they would take sheep and goats and skin them and then take the skin to cover themselves because they were hiding. They were destitute. So they could sneak into a place and hide there. When the coast is clear, they are still preaching the gospel. That is why he said, these people are too, this place doesn't even deserve them. Because they're laying down their life so that you can come to the knowledge of Christ. They're literally pouring their lives, giving their lives in exchange for yours. They were afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. They're waiting for us. See, the word of God, most times we read that first part of Hebrews chapter 11 and we're excited and we are glad. But you see, there's an endurance. There is the suffering that is in this Christian walk. There is the life. Jesus himself suffered. He endured. You to wail. But it's sad that most people in church don't want to endure any pain. We just want to say the next amen you will shout. 1 million will land in your account. Amen. almost choking. Because we want your amen to be the loudest. But can he count on you? Can Jesus count on you? That when the church says, please, this 1 million, hold it. We need it in 6 months' time. That in 6 months, we'll come and you'll give us the 1 million back. You will not have changed church. I'll be calling you, I'll be begging you. You say, your child, your father, your mother, your great-grandfather, everything. You'll be telling excuses. You are making a mockery of the name of Christ you bear. The work of faith is not just about getting. It's living. It's a lifestyle. It's living. It's living. You are living it. You are living it. You are living it. Jesus cannot, you say, Christ, it is, he will not be disappointed with my life. Why? It's his life I'm living. So he will not come to me to see how well I'm living his life and he's disappointed. You know how you dash somebody a cloth and maybe in another month, you see the person wearing that cloth and you are heartbroken. Maybe it's your favorite cloth. You just gave the person. And when you now see it again, you manage to recognize that that's the clothes. You know, the next time, if you're looking for people to give, you will not even consider that one. Should we? Will you consider the person? No. Say, big up. So that at least when I see you wearing, I'm happy. Well, thank God this clothes is doing well on your body. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Or somebody says, please, I want to travel. Can you give me just borrow me your car? I really will. You is a brother. You joyfully give the person your car key. And by the time the car came back, you are wondering whether you stole another, maybe you lost your car and stole somebody else's own and brought it for you. Because you're wondering, did trailer jam you? What happened to you? And just no reason. And came and packed it for you like that. Say thank you. Even if you don't say payback, you know that this one, thank God, thank you, Lord, you have removed one from the people that I can ever give my. See, no, don't be like that. Don't be like that. And I'm saying that the life you are now living is the life Jesus gave to you. If he comes, will he see you living his life well? Or will he see you standing in the middle of the road waiting for a trailer to come and take the life? Do you get, like, you don't even care? So everywhere they say don't go, that's where you're going. You don't care. All the human beings you should not be friends with, those are your friends. You don't smoke Igbo, but all of them are your friends. No, we're just friends. We are just friends. What does the Bible say again about bad company? Corrupts good manners. It did not say you don't have good manners. No, we agree. You have good manners. But you can't be in a place and think it can be corrupted. It will. You are not wiser than the scriptures. All your friends are people who say their husbands are useless. Their husbands are, I can never pay rent. He's a man, I can never pay school fees. I can never. Listen to me. You are not serious. You are very, very unserious. How would those kind of people be your friends? How does it come into what the life of a believer is? No, is it not just the woke rubbish that is everywhere now? Oh, no. That's amen. Are you all right? So the Lord gives to you. And he said, it's for you yourself. And the two of you are husband and wife in that marriage. You are waiting for a knock. It baffles me when I hear women say things like that. I'm like, are you being serious? That's why you hear God give men, a husband has to go and borrow money from somebody, but the wife has money. We should lay hand on you and cast out that devil. I'm being serious. I was talking to a sister. I think that was a year ago or so. I don't know. Just not now. Sometime in the past. And let me just tread there. Amen? Let me tread there. Don't kill me, but let me tread. I'll try and tread cautious. Or not. Amen. So she was saying that, she's of that opinion that this baby girl life, who doesn't want that? Every woman says that. Most women want to say, oh, that baby girl life. Thank you. Don't know it. Don't bother. Amen. If you don't know it, don't worry. You are safe. Praise the Lord. And when they say that, what they mean is, please don't, as far as this house is concerned, carry the burdens. Just let me be managing my space. So the Lord, you are just saying to God, don't bless me. You are saying to the Lord, just manage and be giving me crumbs so I can just be managing my space. We are talking about nations. You are talking about not paying rent. So God gives you rent for where you and your husband are living. You say you will not pay it. You rather landlord chase people out. Is that better? Or you go and tell everybody your husband has not paid rent, but you have the money. This kind of thing should not be found in the body of Christ. Why? Our Father is the one that generously supplies. If he supplies into your account, quickly go and pay it. And be grateful. Ha, Father, thank you, Lord. Do you understand? Be very grateful. When we read the Proverbs 31 woman, we're like, wow. Wow. But somehow we might manage to take all the one that you like and take the ones that she wakes up in the night. Bible says she considers land and buys it. She makes sure there's food in her house. He said all her maid servants, nobody, they have food, they have clothes on their bodies. She imports things and sells them. And yet, her husband is honored at the city gate. She does not drag the husband on the tail and let everybody know how useless he is. Do you understand? No, we can't think like that. I'm saying it because I need it to, and I don't need you to ever think about it. If you have more than your husband, be grateful and joyful. Amen. I know what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. If your income is more in your family, siblings, you're not the first. It doesn't matter. Be responsible. That's what the Lord has called you to do. Be responsible. Do what needs to be done. And he is the one that is supplying. It's not like you are, it's by your strength. He supplied. And he just chose to supply through you. I'm sure people are wondering, how did we get here? I don't know too. Amen. Praise the Lord. But one thing is certain. That God wants you to live your life totally depending on him. Totally pleasing him. Totally depending on him. Totally pleasing him. Whatever B is doing is secondary. What matters is that my life will please God. I don't care about anything else. My life will please God. I will not trade cautiously. I will walk what he says I should walk. I will do what he says to do. I will not care about whatever anybody thinks. What matters to me is, what does God think? What does God think? We are not people pleasers, amen? We're not people pleasers. So I want us to learn from the life of Abraham and the life of these great people in scriptures. You see, it's so important. The Bible says that women receive their dead ones back alive. These are not people who are considering this rubbish. They are not people, they don't have time for that. They knew what God called them to do and they are chasing it. It's more important. So you be busy in bitterness, in dragging, in all of that. And there is a sick to be healed. There is the lost soul to be saved. Do you understand? No. This mundane things, how we that is hyped, is so highlighted that we focus on them. Brethren, the Lord is calling you to live by faith. Wake up every day pleasing the Lord. Wake up every day obeying him. Trusting that he is faithful. Being fully persuaded that he's able to do what he has said. What had God said to you? Somehow people hear what God said and then they hear what others are saying. And what others are saying is usually louder. Usually louder. I wanted to begin with just have that introspection. What is God saying? And of course, when we say what is God saying, it doesn't have to say it loud voice in your ears. He does that. But when you go through the Bible, the word of God, you see God's word come alive to you. That is what God is saying to you. God has said, you will not be ashamed. Why are you still feeling that? I'm about to see shame. He says, you will not be ashamed. He says, I hear you. He said that to you. He said, I hear you. I hear you. I'm hearing you. I still hear you. Hallelujah. I hear you. So why do you think you pray and nobody is not answering? He said, I hear you. Keep talking to God. Keep talking to God. Don't be afraid of the ones who can destroy only the flesh. I spoke to a young man who was so, I knew that, you know, talking to him, I knew that he has the call of God upon his life. But somehow he's just far from it. And in his, what he kept saying is how he's so afraid of being poor. I kept wondering, how does this relate? I don't get it. You know, I don't want to be poor in this, my life. I don't want to, you know, what if I start doing and I'm poor? Amen. Wake up. Are you all right? What are you saying? You know, when people say this thing, I was saying to somebody, they say, we expect a lot from people who don't know much. He means what he's saying. He thinks he knows what he's saying, and that's how he's been living for years, and that's why he doesn't go to church. Oh, he knows the Lord. He prays, talks to God. But doesn't go to church. He doesn't want to get serious, doesn't want to get into what he knows God wants him to do. Because I don't want to be poor. Do you understand? I want to beat you. What are you saying? Okay, first of all, let's even talk about the money part. So you are saying that the God first that called you is poor. No, let's start there. Let's even start the material thing you're talking about. He's poor. He's too poor. He can't take care of you. That is what you are worried about. And even if he won't give you money, is your life not important to you? And I said to him, if I give you all the money in the world, you'll still not be fulfilled. I'm saying that because there are people here who are saying the same thing. I don't want to be poor. See, that should not even come into the conversation, in your conversations. You should not say that. You don't want to be poor. What does that even mean? See, anything the Lord has called you to do, please get on it. Get on it. Start doing it. We don't have time. There's no time. There's no time. There's no time. Get on it and fast. Leave all those things that we've hyped that, you know, you have to be what you are doing. You have to give you this, give you that, give you that. All of that ends here. Nobody, you're not carrying any 1,000 to heaven. You are not. It ends here. What will matter is the work I sent you, the talent I gave you, what did you do with it? That's what it matters. What I sent you to do, how well did you do it? And you see, without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to please the Lord. So if you are struggling with that, you're already out of faith. You're not even standing in faith at all. And if you are standing there, you can't please God. If you are thinking like that, you can't please God. But he says, you that is coming to me must believe that he is. And that is what? A rewarder of they that diligently seek him. He said it. I'm the one that said, seek diligently. There's a reward. And the one that said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All these others will be added. I'm the one that said it. Why can't you trust me with your life? The Lord is saying to you, you have encompassed this mountain for a long time. Why are you afraid for your life? Trust your life with me. Do what I've asked you to do. Get on it. You have contemplated for too long. The logic is plenty. Your analysis is no more analyzing. Get on it. You are analyzing your way out of grace. Father, thank you. So how do we say we get strong in faith? Two things. One, being fully persuaded, okay? Two, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. One, giving glory to God. Two, being fully persuaded. I want you to do that. Whenever a sense of doubt or a sense of unbelief begins to cave into your mind, begin to glorify God. And then begin to speak back the word of God he has said to you. The more you say it, the more you are being persuaded that he's faithful and he's able to do what he said. I like to say this. Respond to every thought. Respond to every fear. Respond to every anxiety. And one thing the Lord put in my heart, I wanted to say, thank God he reminded me now, is that Don't let emotions you don't want to get home. For instance, something sad is happening. You know you can, as a person, feel the sadness encroaching. Can I get witnesses? You just feel that thing coming up. You see that sense of anger coming. You can intercept it. You can intercept it. Are you with me? So a sense of grief is coming. You just see that it is coming. You can intercept it. Don't wait till it overtakes, overwhelms you. Then it becomes harder. Don't accept it. So a sense of something, bad news comes and the thing is coming at you. Just say, I don't want to stay here. See, it's something you practice. Don't accept that emotion coming to you. You know, Stachinyere shared a testimony once where something had caught her hand and, you know, the blood, she was just seeing that blood. She could imagine all the pain she would have to bear. She said, no. Interception. She said, no, I'm not going to have it. And what happened? The blood flowed back. What you allow is allowed. What you refuse is refused. That's what the Bible says. If you allow that feeling of anger, that feeling of sadness, that feeling of anxiety to overwhelm you, it will stay. If you say, no. I've shared this story once. Of a pastor, I've shared it again and again. His son died. His child had died. And in the car, he was going. And all that thing, all the pain that should come to a parent that just lost a child, started to come. But somebody just said, no. I refuse to feel this grief. And what did he do? He started to give glory to God. Amen? As he was giving glory to God, he started calling to remembrance the words the Lord has said concerning this child. And he started to say it. He was becoming fully persuaded that what God has said about this dead child will come to pass. Are you seeing now? He got to the school, a child that was already put in the morgue was brought back alive. By faith, they received their dead ones alive again. Do you understand? So I want you to, let's learn to intercept those feelings. You can learn it. So fear is coming, respond to it. Anxiety is coming, respond to it. Fear is coming. No, Lord, God has not given me you. God has not given me the spirit of fear. So I refuse to have it. Amen? This anxiety says, no, be anxious for nothing. I refuse to be anxious for this. Your rent suddenly gets increased. You know, there's that panic. There's that. Just begin to give glory to God. That is how you intercept it. Start giving glory to God. I start speaking forth God's word. Amen. Let's rise to our feet. I thought I would finish very early today. I don't know what happened. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. You know that you've been living your life as you deem please, as pleases, as whatever the day brings, you take on it. I'm talking to you. I want you to take this time and come back to the Lord. The Lord has not called you to live carelessly. Remember, it is life. It is life. It is life. Today is a good day to say, Lord, I cast my faith, I put my faith in you, and I'm not going back. Today is a good day to receive all his all and to stand firm for him. To go all out for him. No more being too, you know, this just guarding, preserving yourself. Today is a good day to make that commitment to God. Make that commitment to the Lord. He's been standing by the door of your heart and he's been knocking. Oh, have mercy, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. You've been worried about too many things. Things that will end here. But he's able to take care of you. He's able to take care of you. Is your life not more than raiment? It's not more than food? It's not more than these things we chase after? Is your life not more than job? It's not more than a job. It's not more than a wife. Is your life not more than a child? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's time to put in focus the things God is putting in focus. Every other thing comes while you are at it, while you are on it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the spirit of faith upon this church. Thank you, Lord. We are the ones subduing nations for the Lord. We are the ones subduing kingdoms, subduing localities, subduing the space you have planted us in. We are the ones subduing by faith. By faith we subdue. By faith we walk righteousness. We walk righteousness. That we can keep standing, keep flying the testament of our faith every day of our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. We are helped of you. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.